إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His forgiveness and assistance. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to begin the detailed discussion of the asbab najat al-ummah, the means for the ummah's salvation, by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Yesterday, we read his introductory comments, in which he discussed a number of points, including the importance of Tawheed, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist, help and support the believers, and that when the people say they believe, they will definitely be tested, and that is to distinguish those who are truthful in their claim to Iman from those who are liars. And the Shaykh also talked about having patience and taqwa, and having patience and certainty. And he said that patience and certainty are the means through which a person attains or achieves leadership, al-imama, in the deen. And then he talked, and in the end of what we read yesterday, he talked about the importance, the meaning of a taqwa in general, and the specific meaning of taqwa of Allah, of placing a shield or protective barrier between yourself and that which you fear. In this case, placing a barrier between the punishment, between yourself and the punishment of Allah, His anger, His wrath, and the hellfire, and that is by obeying Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. I just want to mention quickly before we go into the reading for today, in brief, the hadith of Al-Irbad radiallahu anhu, in which he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led us in prayer one day, and he turned his face towards us and he gave us an admonition or warning or instruction or a reminder that contained the instruction or the advice of at-taqwa, yani usikum bi-taqwa Allah wa sam' wa ta'a. And in the end of it, he mentioned وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدَعَ وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And in some of the narrations, كُلَّ دَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And this hadith, the Shaykh elaborates on in what follows. That is, yani the advice to observe taqwa of Allah and to hear and obey those in authority amongst us, and to avoid every type of newly invented matter, every innovation, and also any of the establishment of Tawheed, as these matters being the ways or the means or the causes of salvation of the Ummah. That is, hearing and obeying the leaders, holding tight to the Sunnah and avoiding innovation, establishing Tawheed and avoiding Shirk. So this hadith, actually the Shaykh begins to elaborate on the points that are contained in this hadith, and he mentions some other points as well following them. So So I'm going to pick up where we left off yesterday. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ قَالَ وَالسَّمَعَ وَالطَّاعَ وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ. The Prophet ﷺ then said, hearing and obedience, yani to the rulers, to the leaders, even if a slave is placed in authority over you. مِنْ أَسْبَابِ النَّجَاتِ أَنَّ الْعُمَّةِ تُطِيعُ وَتَسْمَعُ وَلِي أَمْرِهِمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ لَهَا جَمَاعَةٌ يَكُونُ لَهَا دَوْلَةٌ يَكُونُ لَهَا قُوَّةٌ يَكُونُ لَهَا جُنَّةٌ تَتَّقِي بِهَا الْأَعَدَاءُ الْجَمَاعَةُ وَالْإِجْتِمَاعُ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. يعني, the Shaykh is saying, from the causes or the reasons or the means through which the Ummah will be saved from destruction, yani from harm in this world and the punishment in the next life, is that the Muslims obey, yani that they hear and obey the one who is placed in authority over them. And this is so that they will have a jama'ah, yani through hearing and obeying the leader, we establish the jama'ah. And also so that they will have a dawla, yani a state, yani a government, a country. And they will have power, and they will have a protection, yani a junnah, a shield that will protect them from their enemies. So they're hearing and obeying whoever is in authority amongst us, yani over us from the Muslims, even if that person was a slave, is the means through which we establish the jama'ah and the state and our power, and this is our protection from our enemies. Al-jama'ah, yani the group, and ijtima'ah, yani uniting, coming together amongst the Muslims. The Shaykh here mentions from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 103rd Ayat, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold together to the rope of Allah, all together, yani jamian, as a jama'ah. Hold fast to the rope of Allah as a group, as a jama'ah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not be divided. Yani a command to unite together, holding on to the rope of Allah, and a prohibition of dividing. And then the Shaykh says, لَا تُتِمُّ الْجَمَاعَ إِلَّا بِكِيَادَ, يعني إِلَّا بِإِمَامَ, that the jama'ah, the group, will not be completed and perfected except if there is leadership, except that there is an imam, somebody in charge over the people. وَلَا تُتِمُّ الْإِمَامَ وَالْقِيَادَ إِلَّا بِسَمْعُ وَطَاعَ. And this imama, the establishment of an imam and leadership, it will not be completed except by hearing and obeying the one who is in authority. And you cannot have a jama'ah unless you have leadership. And the leadership is of no benefit unless you obey the leaders. مَا لَمْ يَأْمُرْ بِمَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ. As long as the leader does not command you with disobedience to Allah. And obey the leader in whatever he commands you with, except disobedience to Allah. Even if a slave is placed in authority over you. مَحْمَا كَانَ الْأَمِيرِ. Doesn't matter if the Amir, the leader, the one who has charge of the Muslims, doesn't matter who is that Amir. Even if he doesn't have any Arab ancestry, even if he doesn't have any tribal, yani, he's not established through his tribe. Even if he was a slave that was owned by somebody else, even if he was someone freed from slavery, and it doesn't matter that he doesn't have this some any high ancestry. What is important is not his ancestry, but rather what is important is the position, the mansab, that he has the position of authority. He's the leader, and therefore he must be obeyed, no matter what is his background or his origin. So the command, the one who has authority over the Muslims is to be obeyed. Yani, the one who has charge over the Muslims has to be obeyed no matter what, because this is in the interest of the Muslims. From this, obeying the leader, there's a maslaha for the Muslims, yani, a great benefit. This is in the interest of the Muslims in terms of jam' al-kalima, yani joining the people together in unity. So hearing and obeying, yani hearing the one who is in charge of the Muslims and obeying that one in everything except that which the Prophet ﷺ made an exception for in his statement, لا طاعة لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ يعني there is no obedience to any created being if it is in disobedience to the Creator. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Yani there is no obeying any person, no matter who they are, even the leader of the Muslims, if they have commanded us to disobey Allah. But otherwise, we obey the one who is in authority. So the one in authority, the Shaykh says, فَهُوَ لَا يُطَاعَ فِي الْمَعَصِيَةِ He is not to be obeyed in an act of disobedience to Allah. وَإِنَّمَا يُطَاعَ فِيمَا عَدَاعَ الْمَعَصِيَةِ But rather, he is to be obeyed in everything other than disobedience to Allah. وَلَيْسَ مَعْنَى لَيْسَ مَعْنَى أَنَّهُ إِذَا أَمْرَ بِمَعَصِيَةِ إِنَّنَا نَخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِ وَنَشُقُّ الْعَصَاءِ Yani, the meaning of this is not that, it's not that if he commands us with disobedience, then we revolt against him and divide the Muslims. This is not the meaning, that if he commands us to do an act of disobedience to Allah, then now we have the right to revolt and divide the Muslims. La. لا نطيعه في ذلك المعصية تلك المعصية ولكن نطيعه في الأمور الأخرى التي ليس فيها المعصية So the meaning here is that we do not obey him in the act of disobedience. However, we obey him in the every other affair as long as there is no disobedience in it. And this is a very important point that the Shaykh is making here. And that is that we must obey the ruler, the leader of the Muslims, except if they command us to disobey Allah. In that case, we don't obey them in disobedience, but we continue to obey them in everything else. Not as some people would have it, that we obey the leader, but if he commands us to do disobedience to Allah, not only we don't obey him in that, rather we revolt against him and we overthrow him. No. We don't obey him in disobedience, but we obey him in everything else. Then the Prophet ﷺ made clear what will happen in the future. ما يكون في المستقبل وأن الأمة بحاجة إلى هذه الوصية وهي السمع والطاعة لولي الأمر يعني he makes clear to us that the Ummah is in need of this wasiyah يعني which wasiyah? Hearing and obeying the one who has charge over the affairs of the Muslims and this is in the hadith of Irbad رضي الله عنه when he reports that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ So whoever from amongst you will live, يعني after the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you will see اختلافًا كثيرًا. You will see a lot of differences. A lot of differences. يعني the people differing about many things. So what is the solution? In that case, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, so it is incumbent upon you to observe, to stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, yani those who will come after him. That is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. So here the Prophet ﷺ is giving us this instruction, and this is one of the most important means of salvation of the ummah, that is adhering, sticking to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, especially in the times when there will be much differing and disputing and argumentation, then the solution is to stick to the sunnah. هذا سبب آخر من أسباب النجاة. يعني this, the Shaykh is saying, is another sabab, another cause or means of salvation. The first cause is hearing and obeying the one who is in charge of the Muslims. ولي الأمر المسلمين. The second of them is تمسك بسنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وسنة خلفائه الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم. The second one is holding tight to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the sunnah of his rightly guided khalifas. That is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. May Allah be pleased with all of them. يعني those who followed as successors, as the leaders of the Muslims after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, holding fast to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas. These are the first two causes or means through which the Ummah will be saved from harm and destruction in this world and the punishment in the next life. So the Shaykh says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said here اختلافاً كثيراً. And whoever lives for a long time, فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا He will see a lot of differences. وليس اختلافا يسيرا وإنما كثير كثير ولا ينجى الأمة من هذه الخلاف إلا التمسك بسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كان عليه خلفاء الراشدون بل ما كان عليه المهاجرون والأنصار. And in this time when there will be a lot of differences, the Shaykh is saying not a little bit of differences, not minor, small differences, rather there will be kathir wa kathir, many, many, many differences, and nothing will be the means of saving the ummah from all of this difference except holding fast to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and that which his rightly guided khalifas were upon. Rather, he said, even that which the muhajirun, the immigrants who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, those who were in Medina, who received them and accepted them and helped and supported them. Yani, he means by this that the means of salvation is holding fast to his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas and the sunnah of the sahaba, the muhajirun and the Ansar, holding fast, yani sticking to the sunnah of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but especially the four khalifas, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Then the Shaykh mentions here in reference to his statement that we must adhere to the way or follow the way of the Muhajirun and the Ansar. He mentions from Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, 100th Ayat, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ عَنْهُمْ ورضوا عن وعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار. The سابقون الأولون, يعني those who were foremost in entering Islam, the first and foremost, أولون from the مهاجرون, the immigrants who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar who helped them and supported them when they came to Medina, and as well those who follow them, والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان, those who follow them in righteousness, in excellence, يعني in all that is what we call Islam, whoever followed them also is included in what Allah is mentioning here, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow. يعني for the Muhajirun and the Ansar and whoever follows them in righteousness. So the Shaykh says, هذا هو السبب الثاني, يعني this is the second means, reason or cause for the salvation of the Ummah, that is التمسك لما عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه, يعني holding fast to that which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is upon and his companions, and that which he صلى الله عليه وسلم has informed us about, that would take place, that is اختلاف, differences, وافتراق, and separation. يعني the people would differ and they would also separate, they would not be united, and this is understood from that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us in the hadith reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi. افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة وستختلف هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة. يعني that the Yahud were divided up, يعني they separated from one another, they broke up their unity, and they were divided up into 71 sects. And the Christians also were divided up into 72 sects. And he said that my Ummah would differ, and in other narrations they will separate into 73 sects. He said this, yani the separation into many sects, yani the separation of the Muslim Ummah will be more than the earlier nations. Yani the earlier nations separated into 71 and 72 sects. He said my Ummah will be divided or separated into 73 sects. And in the end of the hadith, he said, كلها في النار إلا واحدة. And all of them, all of these sects, will be in the hellfire except one. We said, وَمَنْ هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and which one is the one that will not be in the fire? And he said, مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ or مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي, يعني whoever is upon that which I am upon, following my way and the way of my companions. yani that which I am upon and my companions. So, no one will be saved from the fitna, the trial of ikhtilaf, of differing, in any time period, in history, especially in the end of time, especially in the last days. No one will be saved from the fitna of differing, except those who hold fast to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And that which, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon, this is the thing that will save one from the hellfire. And for this reason, yani the people who will be saved, for this reason, this particular group are called Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Or this is why the group, the real people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is why they are called Al Firqa and Najiyah. And this is why the real Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the real people who stick to the Sunnah and are united together upon the Sunnah, this is why they are called, they are also known as Al Firqa and Najiyah. Yani the sect or the group that would be saved. Min ayyi shayin. Yani what would they be saved from? Min al fitn. They will be saved from the trials and tribulations, the fitna. And they will also be saved from the hellfire on Yawm Qiyamah. Yani they will be saved in this world from the trials and tribulations of differing and separating and being divided into different groups. They will be saved from that in this world, and they will be saved from the hellfire on Yawm Qiyamah. So this group is the one that will be saved from all of this, and every other group besides them will not be saved. Rather, all of them will be in the hellfire. Only one will be saved. All of them will be in the hellfire due to their opposition, yani to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and their separating and dividing amongst themselves. Except the one that is made firm, yani the one that is made firm upon the truth. And this firmness or being made firm will not be achieved. Yani being firm upon the truth, no one will achieve this except that they are upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And this will not be achieved except yani by al-ilm al-nafi'. Yani no one will remain firm upon the truth, upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, except through beneficial knowledge. Except through beneficial knowledge. And this shows the importance of beneficial knowledge. Not any knowledge, but beneficial knowledge. The knowledge that really benefits. And that is the knowledge of the Quran. And the knowledge of the Sunnah. And the example of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what they understood. How can a person remain firm upon something that they don't know? Yani the Shaykh is saying the only way that you will remain firm is by beneficial knowledge. And then he asked the question, yani, how can anybody remain firm upon something that they are ignorant of, that they don't know? How can they remain firm upon it unless they have knowledge? Knowledge. So it is a necessity that we learn the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani that which he was upon and that which his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in were upon, in order that we may remain firm upon it and that we may hold fast to it. And we must learn it. Otherwise, how can we remain firm upon it? How can we hold fast to it unless we know it? And then he mentions the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu. He said, and the Shaykh mentions just part of the hadith, and the first part of it and the last part of it. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير. Yani the people, they used to be asking the Messenger of Allah about the khair, about good things. Yani what is good? وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنَ الشَّرِّ. But I used to ask him about what is evil, what is the evil things. مَخَافَةً أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. Out of fear that it would overcome me. Yani the people used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about what is good so that they may act upon it. But he said, I used to ask him what was evil. Yani to protect myself from it, for fear that it may overcome me. Yani if I know what is evil, I will be able to avoid it and protect myself from it. So the Shaykh says, he mentions this part of the hadith, and then he says, yani that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu used to ask, said that he used to ask about the evil for fear that it would overcome him. And he used to request from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make clear to him what will happen, what will take place of evil in the future, so that he would have knowledge of that thing, and in order for him to be safe and to be protected from it. And this will not occur unless a person has knowledge of it. So Hudhayfa, he used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order for him to learn these matters. أَسْأَلُهُ عَنَ الشَّرْ مَخَافَةً أَنْ يُدْرُكَنِي. And I used to ask him about the evil for fear that it would overtake me, overcome me, it would befall me. So, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made clear to him what will happen, yani after his passing, yani that the ikhtilafat would be repeated, yani they would occur one after another, there would be constant ikhtilafat, differences amongst the people, then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, yani this is the last part of a long hadith, in the end of the hadith, he said, Hudhayfa said to him, مَا تَأْمُرُنِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. What do you command me with? Yani in this situation, when we see all of these constant differences, differing, disputing amongst the people, what do you command me with? If this time overcomes me, yani that I am living in that time when it happens. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أن تلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم. That you stick to, adhere to the jama'ah of the Muslims and their imam. Yani that you hold fast, become a part of and hold tight to the jama'ah of the group of the Muslims and their imam. Yani stick to the Muslims and be obedient to the leader of the Muslims. And this, the Shaykh says, this part of the hadith, stick to the jama'ah of the Muslims and their imam, he said it is similar to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alaykum bi taqwallah wa sam' wa ta'a, that it is incumbent upon you to observe taqwa of Allah and to hear and obey. Yani stick to the jama'ah of the Muslims and their imam means be a part of the group and obey the leader. And this is similar to the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the previous hadith that we mentioned, it is incumbent upon you to observe taqwa of Allah and to hear and obey, meaning be obedient to the leader. And don't go with the yani factions, the different sects and groups, yani don't go with those who are heedless, yani those who are yani the people who deviate, who divide into sects and deviate, every little group yani being pleased with what they have amongst them. But rather it is incumbent upon you to remain firm, it is incumbent upon you to يعني التأني. Help me. يعني don't be hasty. نعم, don't be hasty. نعم, take it easy. يعني take your time, think things out. It is incumbent upon you to be firm and not to be hasty. عليك بالفقه في الدين الله. And also it is incumbent upon you to have understanding, to seek understanding of the deen of Allah. Yani meaning to learn and to know yani what is required of us by Islam. عليك بالنظر إلى ما كان عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه فتأخذ به. And it is incumbent upon you to examine carefully, to look to examine carefully, to inspect that which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions were upon, and then to take hold of it, to act upon it. عَلَيْكَ بِالسَّمَعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَلِيَ أَمْرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَتَكُونُ مَعَ جِمَعَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Yeah, it is incumbent upon you to hear and obey whoever is in charge of the affairs of the Muslims and to be a part of the jama'ah of the Muslims. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, تَلْزَمْ جَمَعَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَإِمَامَهُمْ. Yani stick to, adhere to, be a part of the jama'ah, the group of the Muslims, and their imam, yani obey their imam. Then the Shaykh mentions also last final part of this hadith. He says that Hudhayfa said, Ya Rasulullah, fa in lam yakun lahum jama'atun wala imam. What if at that time, if I come across a time when the Muslims, they don't have any jama'ah, and they don't have any imam, yani they are not united together in a group, nor have they placed over them an imam to lead them, that whom they can hear and obey. What if we find this time, yani meaning the Muslims are not united, rather they are separated into a lot of different groups, everyone doing whatever they want to do. What should we do in that time? He said, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقْ كُلَّهَا. Then separate yourself from all of those sects, from every one of them. Separate yourself from every one of them. Separate from every one of those groups as long as they don't have a jama'ah. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ جَمَعَةً وَلَا إِمَامٌ ثَابِتُونَ عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَالسُّنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاعْتَزِلُهَا كُلَّهَا. Yani, so the Shaykh is saying here, then the meaning of this, of these words, yani, separate yourself from all of those groups as long as they don't have a group, a jama'ah, and as long as they don't have an imam that is firmly established upon the book and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, there are a lot of groups, but they are not, there's no group upon the sunnah. There's no group that has, yani, a jama'ah and an imam that's upon the sunnah, upon the book and the sunnah. If there's no group like that, as long as there's a group like that, then stick to them and obey the imam. But if there's no group like that, separate from all the deviant sects who are not upon the Quran and the Sunnah, because all of them are upon misguidance, dalal. So don't be with them. وَلَوْ أَن تَعُضَّ عَلَىٰ أَصْلِ الشَّجَرَةٍ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ أَوْ يَدْرُكَ الْمَوْتِ. And even if you have to bite on to the root of a tree until death reaches you or until death comes to you. And even if you have to separate from all those deviant sects and groups such that you are by yourself and you don't have anything except yani, to survive by biting on to the root of a tree until death overcomes you, don't join those people. Separate them no matter what. أما ما دام يوجد للمسلمين جماعة وإمام فلا تنفرد كن مع المسلمين مع جماعة المسلمين حتى تنجو وتسلم. So as long as though there is, the Muslims do have a group and they do have an imam that is upon the book and the sunnah, then don't isolate yourself, don't be by yourself, rather be with the Muslims, be with the group of the Muslims so that you will be saved and you will be safe. Then the Shaykh, he says, now another matter that is from the means or the causes of salvation, وكذلك من أسباب النجاة التمسك بعقيدة التوحيد وإفراد الله جل وعلا بالعبادة وتجنب الشرك. تجنب الشرك الأكبر والأصغر. هذا هو أصل العقيدة وهذا هو أصل النجاة من النار من تمسك به. Yani also, after this advice of sticking to the jama'ah and not separating and obeying, hearing and obeying the Muslim rulers, the Shaykh says, and likewise from the means of salvation is holding fast to the aqidah of at-tawheed. And of course, the people of Sunnah emphasize this all the time, again and again and again, because of its great importance. Holding fast to the aqidah of at-tawheed. That is, singling out Allah Jalla wa Ala with worship, singling Allah, giving worship to Allah alone, and avoiding, staying far removed from ash-shirk, yani associating anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those things that are His exclusive rights, especially every type of worship. Avoiding the major shirk and the lesser shirk. This is the foundation of al-aqidah. Yani establishing tawheed and avoiding shirk. This is the foundation of every aspect of aqidah, of all that we believe in. All of our creed is based upon this foundation, that is establishment of tawheed and avoiding shirk. This is also the origin or the source of salvation, being saved from the fire. That is for whoever holds fast to this principle of establishing a tawheed and avoiding shirk. And then the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-An'am, Naam, 6th Surah, 82nd Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم محتدون. يعني that those who believe, who have iman, and they don't mix up their iman with ظلم, with wrong, يعني with oppression, with injustice. And here, of course, the ظلم means shirk. يعني those who believe and they do not mix up their iman with ظلم, with shirk. These are those who will have الأمن, يعني they will be saved from the punishment of the hellfire, and these are those who will be rightly guided. In Surah Al-An'am, this is Surah Al-An'am, 82nd ayah. The Shaykh says, آمنوا, الذين آمنوا, those who believe. He said here, this means الإيمان. It means here, التوحيد بعبادة الله. يعني those who believe, it means those who establish the توحيد, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone for worship. وترك عبادة ما سوى, and of leaving off worshipping anything besides him. So the meaning in this ayah of those who believe and do not mix up their iman with ظلم, it means those who establish tawheed, who single out Allah alone for worship, and they avoid the worship of anything besides him. وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ, the meaning of this, they didn't mix up their iman with ظلم, it means their tawheed. يعني not mixing up their iman means not mixing up their tawheed with ظلم. And the ظلم here, he said it means shirk. So the meaning of not mixing up their iman with ظلم, it means not mixing up their tawheed with shirk. Because shirk, if it is mixed with tawheed, it corrupts it, it spoils it, it ruins it. Tawheed will not be straight, it will not be correct, it will not be right if it is joined along with shirk. It will never be right. ضدان لا يجتمعان. These are two opposites that cannot come together. Tawheed and shirk. لا يجتمع. Tawheed والشرك أكبر. يعني tawheed will not ever be able to come together with major shirk. As far as أما الشرك أصغر يمكن. يعني as far as minor shirk, it's possible. يعني minor shirk does not completely nullify tawheed. But it decreases its perfection and completion. But a person may remain a Muslim if they fell into minor shirk, but their tawheed will be diminished. It will be defective, but it will not be completely destroyed. As far as major shirk, khalas, it eliminates tawheed in totality. So the Shaykh is saying here that tawheed and shirk cannot come together, but he's clarifying that he means tawheed and major shirk. As far as minor shirk, he said, yumkin, it's possible. Lakin, but it's dangerous, but and it doesn't completely eliminate tawheed. Lakin tawheed wa shirk akbar la yumkin an yajtami'a abadan. As far as tawheed and major shirk, it's not possible for the two of them to coexist ever. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah in Surah Al-An'am, وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, And they didn't mix up their iman with ظلم, with shirk, means they didn't mix up their tawheed with shirk. And ظلم here means shirk, as it has been explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when in this ayat here he explained when it became the companions became confused about the meaning of what is the meaning of ظلم in this ayat. And the Prophet ﷺ, and they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَظْلَمْ نَفْسَهُ, which one of us didn't commit some kind of ظلم, yani wrong against our own self? Meaning, which one of us didn't commit sin? They thought it means those who believe and do not mix up their iman with ظلم. They thought it meant the person who has iman, he didn't commit any sin. They said, which one of us didn't commit some kind of sin, some kind of wrong against ourselves? ظلم. And he said to them, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِالَّذِي تَعْنُونَ إِنَّهُ الشِّرْكُ. Yani it's not what you think or what you imagine is the meaning. Rather, the meaning of ظلم here, it means يعني not mixing up your tawheed with shirk. He said, have you not heard the saying of العبد الصالح, the righteous servant? He means Luqman, where he said, إِنَّ الشِّرْكُ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that indeed shirk is a dangerous, terrible type of dhulm. And he's saying that in this ayat we can understand that the meaning of dhulm, it means shirk. And also in his saying, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, in shirk la dhulmun azim. Oh my dear son, do not commit an act of shirk with Allah. Verily, shirk is a great, terrible, horrible dhulm. So the Prophet ﷺ made them to understand that dhulm here doesn't mean as they thought. In the broad sense of dhulm means any kind of sin, any disobedience to Allah is dhulm. But that's what they understood. And he said, no, it's not that. But rather the dhulm here, it means committing shirk. And this is mentioned in Surah Luqman, 31st Surah, 13th Ayat. So what is intended here by dhulm in this ayat? It means shirk. So whoever is saved from shirk, then they have achieved al-aman, yani al-amnu, safety and security in the hereafter as well as in the dunya. Whoever saves themselves, avoids shirk, then they will be safe and they will be secure fil akhirah wa dunya, in the hereafter and in this world. Wa hasalat lahu al-hidayah, and he will also achieve yani right guidance, al-hidayah. He will be given guidance. Al-hidayah bi-an yakuna ala al-haq. Yani he will be guided to what? To being upon the truth. He will achieve this type of guidance. He will be upon the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 55th Ayat, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Yani the shaykh is saying here, he's giving some interpretation in the middle of the ayat, that Allah has promised those who believe from amongst you, those who believe from amongst you, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and who do good deeds, سَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Yani then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them yani rulers one after another. Yani those who what? Who believe from amongst you and do good deeds, He will make them succeeding one another as rulers in the earth, as He made the people before them, yani rulers in the earth. وَلَا يُمَكِّنَنَّهُمْ وَلَا يُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي اِرْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And He will also yani make, He will give them an authority to establish their deen, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with for them, that Allah has chosen for them. He will make their deen to be established in the earth. وَلَا يُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And He will also exchange the fear that they were living in before, when He established them in the earth. He will remove the fear, He will establish them in the earth, establish their deen, and He will replace the fear that they were in with safety and security. He will change their condition from a condition of fear to a condition of safety and security. And whoever does what? Whoever believes in Allah from amongst you and does good deeds, Allah will make them as rulers in the earth, as He made the people before them rulers in the earth, and He will give them the authority to establish their deen that He is pleased with, that is Islam, and He will exchange their condition, He will change their condition from fear to safety. And in the end of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Yani that is with the condition that you worship me and you do not associate anything as a partner with me. So this is the condition. Yani for these, yani the Shaykh says, in order to achieve these maqalib al-azima, these tremendous, great yani things that are sought, in order to achieve this, the Shaykh says the condition is what? That you worship Allah alone and do not associate anything with Him as a partner. So if the people realize this condition, they fulfill it, and that is the worship of Allah alone and avoiding the worship of anything besides Him, then they will also receive al-wa'ud al-kareema, these great promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is that He will make them authorities in the land. He will give them rulership in the land, just as He made the people before them rulers in the land, and He will give them authority. He will make their deen an authority, the deen that He is pleased with. He will make it established in the earth, and He will also change their condition from fear to safety. And these are great matters, the Shaykh said, they will not be achieved except by Tawheed. That is the worship of Allah, Jalla wa Ala, and avoiding the worship of other than Him. That is the Tawheed, singling out Allah, Jalla wa Ala, bil-ibadah. Singling out Allah for the worship, not giving it to anyone other than Allah, and avoiding, and the Shaykh, he says here, and this is the last matter that we're going to mention, yani from the means of salvation of the ummah, وكذلك تجنب البدعة, yani that, and likewise from the means of the causes of salvation is to avoid innovation. That is, because innovation leads to shirk. Yani innovation is the forerunner of shirk. Yani once innovation comes, what's coming behind it is shirk. That's what it leads to. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَيَّاكُمْ, yani in the previous hadith, وَيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And in some of the narrations, he said, كُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Yani, so I warn you to beware of innovated, newly invented matters, for every newly invented matter is innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. And in some of the narrations, he said, yani in the Sunan of Nasa'i, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. So just as we avoid shirk, just as we must avoid shirk, we must also avoid bid'ah. Yani avoiding shirk is the great means of salvation, and along with it, yani as a means of salvation, is avoiding innovation. Yani avoiding shirk is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is understood from the what? The statement La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Its meaning is singling out Allah Jalla wa ala, singling out Allah with worship, and leaving off the worship of anything besides Him. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah, it means Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, leaving off innovations. Because the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is the one who came with the clarification of the truth and clarification of the deen. So it is upon us to worship Allah upon the way, yani the tariqah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he didn't leave anything of good except that he made it clear to us. And he didn't leave off anything of evil except that he made it clear to us, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is from the greatest means of salvation of the ummah, holding fast to the aqeedah, holding fast to the tawheed, and avoiding shirk, and avoiding innovation and newly invented matters. These are means. Bal huwa al-asl. Rather, these are not just means, rather this is the foundation. Asl al-asbab, yani the foundation, the essence, yani the origin, or the foundation, naam, the foundation of all the other means, the foundation, the most important of all of them, it is tawheed and avoiding shirk and avoiding innovation and newly invented matters in the deen. And so these last two matters, the Shaykh mentions here, establishing tawheed and avoiding shirk, and establishing the sunnah and avoiding bid'ah, is what is understood. He's saying this is the foundation. Why is it the foundation? Because this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's the foundation of Islam, the shahadatain. And what is contained in this shahadatain? These two points, establishing tawheed and avoiding shirk. And the second point is establishing the sunnah and avoiding innovation. This is the foundation of all of the other means or causes of salvation of this ummah. In addition with what the Shaykh said before, that is, at-taqwa and hearing and obeying those in authority from amongst us, and remaining united, yani in the jama'ah, united upon the haqq, upon the Qur'an and the sunnah. So these are the means that the Shaykh has mentioned up until here, and we'll stop with this. That is, establishing tawheed and avoiding shirk, and establishing the sunnah and avoiding innovation, and observing taqwa of Allah in obedience to the leaders, and sticking together in the jama'ah upon the haqq, upon the Qur'an and the sunnah. And after this, the Shaykh mentions, we'll begin with, بإذن الله تعالى tomorrow, وكذلك من أسباب النجاة, نجاة الأمة, that is, الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. Yani also from the means of salvation of the ummah, it is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, and that's what we will begin with tomorrow, بإذن الله تعالى. If there's any question or any comment, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Any question or any comment? نعم. Nam.
When we go to the other masters.
Nam.
To make the salat.
Nam.
And you found everybody in the masjid do not stand heel to heel, toe to toe.
Nam.
I mean, this is their minhaj.
Nam.
This is what they do.
Nam.
Am I wrong for not going there or not wanting to go there? Because we're supposed to establish the Salat and Jama'at. But I live right across the street from a masjid and around the corner from another masjid that they do some stuff that I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah.
You understand what
I understand. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you're saying that if you go to a masjid and you see that the people are not really observing the sunnah, whatever it is, whether they are not standing close together, putting their feet together, or standing, yani, establishing, you know, the proper ranks in the salat, or if it's something else, whatever it is, that the people are not observing the sunnah, are you wrong for not wanting to pray there, or for not going there? No, it's nothing wrong with that. Rather, yani, it is advisable that a person should not pray in a place like that. But doesn't mean that it's haram to pray there.
Right.
I mean, if they have some types of innovation that are not kufr, that doesn't take them out of Islam, then they are Muslims, so it's permissible to pray with them. But it is preferable, if you have the ability, to pray in a place behind an imam who's upon the sunnah, and with people who are upon the sunnah, then there's no doubt that that's preferable. Yani, whoever is able to pray with the people of sunnah, to pray behind an imam who's upon the sunnah, clearly upon the sunnah, then that is better than praying behind an imam who's upon innovation, or praying with people who are upon innovation. That's better, there's no doubt about it. And even if a person went past the masjid of the people of innovation, and went further and traveled some distance, and they had the ability to do that, to pray with the people of sunnah, then that's better, for sure, there's no doubt about it. There's nothing wrong with doing that, rather that is the right thing to do, if a person is able to do that. But if they're not able to do that, and they pray with those people, as long as their innovation doesn't amount to kufr, then it's permissible to pray with them. And the prayer with them, as Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in Majmu' al-Fatawa, the prayer behind the person of innovation, whose innovation does not amount to kufr, is valid. It's valid. It's permissible to do so, but it's better to pray with the people of sunnah. Now, especially in a situation like this, what we have here, where there are not many masjids and there are not many imams who are upon the sunnah. So where will the person pray? If you don't live near a masjid where the people are upon the sunnah, what will you do? Just pray at home? No, go to the masjid and pray with those people if you have no other choice. That's better than praying by yourself. Most of us find ourselves in that position.
Yeah.
Whoever is near to a masjid of the people of sunnah, they are fortunate. Now,
yeah.
Any other question about what we read this morning? طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وإياكم